that, I wish I could be real cheery and welcoming our guests to another episode of the Brick House Podcast. But the truth is, it's a pretty sad week for Clippers and Rockets fans.
Tough week there, Bob. Tough week.
Welcome back, though. Thanks for driving all the way straight from Vegas to the Brick House Studios.
That's, you know, you just sometimes you got to do what you got to do, and I did what I had to do.
Why don't you tell Brick House listeners what Matt Baker is doing in Vegas?
Went up there, met the family for the first time.
Adopted now. Yeah. Got a real dad.
Yeah, yeah. He's a drunk gambling addict. Went up there, met my family up there. Went to a Billy Joel concert with my mom and brother, and just drove back.
Yeah,
it was great.
Did you go walking in the middle of the night?
All of that. All of that. My mom at one point looked around and said, "Pretty diverse crowd," and I said, diverse in age? And she said, yeah, that's what I meant. Because there are a whole bunch of white people there, Bob.
No. Last week, I told listeners that they should thank us because we were recording on Sunday morning, and therefore Sunday afternoon and probably Monday afternoon would be filled with great basketball.
Sure.
That couldn't have been further from the truth. 24 hours after we recorded our podcast, the three best players in California playoff teams all got injured.
Oh, it was
the two Clippers for the rest of the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, actually, it was April 25th, Monday, when Chris Paul and Blake Griffin left the game and the series with injuries. Mm-hmm. 2016. April 25th, 2014. That was the day the TMZ Donald Sterling tapes came out.
So
not a good day, Clippers history.
That might be because I know we texted a little bit back and forth about was the two injuries the worst day in Clippers basketball history. And as you said over text, they had a very public racist owner.
Yeah.
That's a very bad thing as well. I guess we can separate the two from on court and off court. But now knowing that they both happened the same day.
Yeah.
I think that settles it, and we can just go, as a whole, the day is the worst day.
You know, it was disappointing to see Chris Paul, my favorite player, leave the game to injury. He was obviously upset about it. But I think another day that was worse than that day was last year, up 3-1 on the Rockets, specifically in Game 6 when they could close it out at home, up 19 fucking points in the fourth quarter.
Right.
And blew that one.
That was crazy.
Saw that one in person with my mom cheering for the Houston Rockets in my ear right next to me.
Yeah. Yeah, the injury, the worst part about the, I mean, obviously it's bad for this season for the Clippers, but you got to wonder if it's just, where if the Clippers' fun in the sun, the run is over, you know?
The fun in the sun run.
It might be,
you know, after every year when the Clippers eventually end their season without a championship.
In a terrible, unfortunate fashion.
Yeah, the Clippers' curse comes out, you know? That must have been what it was. It's the Clippers' curse.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's a curse. Not really a believer in such things.
Yeah, I agree.
However, the Clippers have been setting some dubious records in the past few years. For example, they just tied the Boston Celtics from 90 to 93 for having four consecutive years of being ahead in a playoff series that they eventually lost.
Oof.
Starting with a 2-0 lead they had in 2013 over Memphis. And then they had a 1-0 lead over Oklahoma City in 2014. And then, of course, the aforementioned 3-1 series lead over the Rockets last year. They're also the 10th team in NBA history to get backdoor swept, which is when you go up 2-0 and then lose four in a row. And also, Chris Paul, despite playing almost a full season this year, and I think a full season the year before, has now had 5 consecutive years in the playoffs as a member of the Clippers where he's missed playoff game due to injury.
Whoa.
He's not doing this on purpose.
Yeah, he broke his hand. That's a legitimate...
His right hand.
Jamal Crawford is the only one that can simultaneously keep you in a game by shooting and take you out of a game by shooting.
Yeah. He's also the only member of the Clippers bench for the past 3 years
that
has made any
right.
significant contributions. And then second and third place would probably be Austin Rivers and Glenn Big Baby Davis.
Yeah. Rivers, he got his face smashed up a bunch the other night.
That was pretty ugly. He definitely earned some toughness points.
I was going to say, do you think he helped his cause? You got to think that helped his cause a little bit.
Yeah, but if GM and father Doc Rivers gives him anything more than $5 million a year, it's probably going to be pretty awkward in that locker room.
Yeah, all this Clippers talk takes away the fact that the Blazers won a playoff series this year.
That's true.
Yeah.
What did we hit? We predicted they'd win like 29, 28 games.
Sure, they lost four of five starters. Who knew what their team was going to look like? And regardless, they won a playoff series because the other team lost their two best players, but still, they still won the series.
They lost four starters, and they didn't have 7-foot-tall Justin Bieber look-alike Myers Leonard for the entire series either. Plumlee is playing great.
Great. He's been playing great.
I can't talk about the Clippers anymore,
Matt. Okay, we'll stop.
I gotta wait another 6 months to get excited about them again.
It's okay.
I don't know if this is going to make me feel any better, but I thought it was pretty funny. A headline I saw on NBA Reddit is describing the OKC Spurs game from yesterday. Mm-hmm. Simply, OKC is Leo and the Spurs are the bear. Little revenant comparison. Everyone's probably heard this by now, but halftime of that game, Aldridge and Kawhi Leonard had personally outscored the Thunder team 45-40.
Right.
Aldridge tied the Spurs record for most made field goals in a playoff game yesterday with 18 out of 23 shooting, I think. Jeez. It was. And I also saw that now the Spurs are responsible for the three worst playoff defeats of Kevin Durant's career. The number one worst playoff defeat of Kevin Durant's career came from the 2014 West Finals, Game 2, 112-77 was a 35-point Spurs win. Yesterday was the second worst loss of Kevin Durant's playoff career, 32-point deficit. And then from that same West Finals Game 5 in 2014, they also lost by 28 Game 5.
Jeez, that is those aren't stats that give you any confidence that Durant will want to stick around in this Oklahoma City environment.
He did go on after the game when asked how the Spurs are so good. He said it was their coach. Yeah. He went on and on congratulating the coach and saying, like, you know, we can have a team that's got a lot of talented players, but if you don't have a really good coach telling you what to do, it's, you know, maybe all for naught.
Sure, they don't have a team full of talented players, but I get what he's saying.
You know, with this salary cap going through the roof, maybe people have underestimated the possibility that all of the best players in the NBA next year are just going to play for the Warriors and the Spurs.
Right. Yeah.
Heard Pau Gasol is intrigued at the idea of playing for San Antonio. His brother Mark suggested it.
Well, I remember before Pau signed with the Bulls a few years ago, the thought was that he might end up in San Antonio too.
Yeah. I did read an interesting article on the Wall Street Journal just this week about Oklahoma City's catered meals, Matt. Since Inez Kanter joined the team, he's Turkish and Muslim, and so he has special dietary restrictions. Yeah. And so the Thunder kitchen staff started making halal Turkish food for him, lamb kebabs, chicken kebabs, that sort of stuff. And now when they're on the road, they get special, you know, Turkish meals ordered no matter where they go. The article was about this exclusively. Just talking about the different cities that are best for it. I think Boston was the best and Sacramento was the worst for getting good halal food. And now the whole team is really on board with it because Steven Adams, who I think we said in our preview, goes to restaurants and orders 5 entrees for himself.
Yeah.
Because he's such a gigantic freak and still, you know, 22, 23 years old. So he saw these meals that Kanter was getting specially prepared and just told the staff, like, you know, just order for 2 from now on, you know, whatever he's getting. And then the whole team got on board. So now they're ordering, they have to do special arrangements where they're calling days before at these restaurants saying, we need enough food for 10 people, but they're NBA players, so maybe make it for 30 people. You know? They're going to be hungry, and they're going to be losing by 32 points.
Yeah, so they're going to want a lot of food after to drown their sorrows.
One of the few people that's not eating the food, Kevin Durant.
Mm-hmm.
His quotes were said in jest, but he says, I think it's bullshit. I've been here for 9 years, and I requested some stuff after the game, and I have to pay for it on my own. And the second it gets here, and the second Inez gets here, he gets his own menu. It's nasty to me, he said.
That's just another reason why he's leaving Oklahoma City.
What's the deal with... I saw in the news that Stephen Curry was used to brand heroin in Philadelphia.
Yes, I saw that, yeah.
The newest brand of heroin in inner city Philadelphia features Stephen Curry's face, and it gets you high even if you're 35 feet from your destination, yeah. From your couch.
You know, Under Armour took a chance on Steph Curry, and that paid off big time. I think that the heroin market is really trying to look into that business model.
Heroin signs $48 million deal, Steph Curry.
Yeah. Once a month, he gets a briefcase full of dirty $100 bills delivered, like, through the back door.
Rolled up.
Yeah. Speaking of the Warriors, I got a quote here from Andrew Bogut that you might like.
Oh, please.
We've got to make sure that Clay's always locked in because he's away with the fairies sometimes.
Is this a San Francisco thing or a Harry Potter world thing?
Yeah. I guess he is that his Australian charmed way of saying that sometimes Clay can be a little unenthused and kind of not paying attention during games? I don't know if that qualifies as a diss of the week or kind of a huh of the week. Is that a new segment? What?
Matt, I know what I want for my birthday next year.
Yeah, we got 9-10 months to figure this out. What do we got?
George Carl might be writing a new book.
Oh, yes.
Published by HarperCollins. The title, working title perhaps, Furious George, My 40 Years Surviving NBA Divas, Clueless GMs, and Poor Shot Selection.
You sent me the link to this yesterday on Amazon with a... emoji of a birthday present and a balloon. So I get the hint. Oh, I didn't even see this, that it's not released till next January. Okay, so it's still...
That's what my birthday is.
Yeah, this is perfect because that means it's not finished yet, so we're going to get all the aftermath of this King stuff in there, too.
If this is real, this is... the most unconventional way I've ever seen a coach announce his retirement from the NBA. I don't think you get another job after writing a book like this.
I hate all of you idiots, and I'm going to put this in a book.
Some of the players that George Karl has coached, who presumably will be talked about in this game, or in this book, World Be Free, Joe Barry Carroll, Chris Mullen, while he was still an alcoholic, Sean Kemp, ditto. Gary Payton, Terry Cummings, Ray Allen, Michael Redd, Carmelo Anthony.
Was Sprewell on one of those teams, on that Warriors team, or no?
I don't know if he was on that. Okay. I know Allen Iverson is one of the people he's coached.
Yeah.
J.R. Smith, JaVale McGee, of course, Boogie Cousins, Rajon Rondo, Kenyon Martin, Glenn Big Dog Robinson. It's quite a few head case players.
Was Vin Baker?
I think Vin Baker was on those Bucks teams as well.
Or on the Sonics or Bucks, one of those,
Oh, yeah, I forgot he was on the Sonics, too.
I don't know if Carl was around them, but you should be the marketing agent for this book. You're really selling it. This is going to be great.
I read a book last year that was all about the 93-94 Sonics season.
Yeah.
And... half of the book was George Carl just calling out Kendall Gill to the media, you know?
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
It's like after every game, it's just like, even ones that Kendall had a good one, he would just fuck with him. Just, I don't know if that was how he got more out of his players or what.
But, sure. I guess that's where you can look at it.
He had his own radio show, and after every game, it would just be dogging Kendall.
There's got to be some good Vivek stories in there, too.
Oh, my gosh. Of course. He already came out today saying that You know, he never felt empowered as a coach.
Yeah.
And as long as that front office remains dysfunctional, no new coach is going to survive there.
The problem is when the coach has to report to a team of 12 fifth grade girls who know more about basketball, that's Vivek's, you know, brain trust. That's the what you get.
DeMarcus Cousins had some interesting things to say this week.
Did he, Bob?
Pretty much any time that man opens his mouth.
The sun rose.
He said that he's not a bad teammate. There's only three people in the Kings organization that think that way.
Yeah.
He didn't say who they were. Mm-hmm. But, of course, I figured Matt and I would try and guess.
Take it. Okay.
You know.
Yeah.
First of all, we agree that Costa Kufos thinking DeMarcus Cousins being a bad teammate would not draw any attention either from the Kings organization or from DeMarcus Cousins.
Right.
No one would care.
He doesn't even know what a Costa Kufos is.
I think we could immediately take this, you know, 14 people on the roster besides Cousins and eliminate the bottom half of players.
Sure.
You know, Quincy AC, James Anderson. No one gives a shit if they think Cousins is a good teammate or not.
So our coach is up. Coaches might be up for this.
Could be coaches, could be executives. I'm going to guess, just for sake of this, though, because we don't know who's going to be left on the executive staff besides Vlade.
Right.
And he seems to be in Cousins' corner.
Yeah.
Also, we could probably rule out the Kentucky alumni, Willie Cauley-Stein and Rajon Rondo.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say it. One of these three people is clearly Rudy Gay.
Yeah.
It has to be, right?
Sure. That would be the logical thing.
He was a superstar at one point, or, you know, at least an all-star.
Right.
He's been pretty marginalized since leaving Memphis, especially on Sacramento. Half the time we're making fun of Sacramento, I forget he even plays for the
team. Sure. I have to quote the late Rick Majerus on ESPN when Rudy Gay was at Connecticut. They were talking about Connecticut, and Rick Majerus just said, you know, I'm not a big gay guy. And Steve Lavin sitting next to him just started cracking up. Rudy's got to be one of those. Rudy Gay's never made the All-Star team, by the way, which is weird.
Really? He made Team USA, huh?
But right.
Not
so
the All-Star team.
You say Gay. I got a name for you. Assistant coach Corliss Williamson.
Oh, yeah.
Williamson, he seems...
He's a champion, college champion.
College, NBA, he was on the Pistons team, I believe.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But still, he was kind of a tough-nosed guy, didn't take a lot of, you know, flack. And
you think so? Because it was rumored that he was going to step in for George Karl if Karl were let go during the season.
Okay.
So one would presume that he and Boogie at least have some sort of a friendly...
That's fair.
You know,
that's true.
Amicable relationship.
Although... Who knows what that space cadet Divock in the front office is. He might not even notice any of this stuff. Do you think Nancy Lieberman has the guts to go on record and say that DeMarcus Cousins is a bad teammate?
I mean, she's a winner who's had a lot of good teams that I'm sure had a lot of chemistry. And Cousins, even to the objective observer, clearly is not helping team chemistry. I think Tough Juice, Caron Butler, is a prime suspect for this.
Right.
Either he's fully in Boogie's corner, or he is just above it. You know, he's too mature of a veteran to stand behind these shenanigans.
But
even if the coach is a dickhole, too.
Right, but even if he's in Cousins' corner, it's from a good place. He wants to see the kid succeed, and he wants to help him out. Because Caron wouldn't join in the fracas, but he would be in the corner to help Corral Cousins, I think.
I think similar to Rudy Gay, too, Darren Collison.
Collison, that's what I was thinking.
His talent seems misused on Sacramento.
Yeah.
He was starting until they got Rondo on that Flyer deal. But it seems like someone who could, you know, hold resentment and for whatever reason feel like, you know, Cousins is hurting his money or hurting his opportunities. But moving on... The L.A. Lakers got a new coach fast.
First coach ever born in the 1980s.
Oh, yeah. I saw that. 17-65 this year for the Lakers, Matt. How many more wins does Luke get you?
Oh, man, I don't know. Did he go undefeated as Warriors coach this year, or did he?
He was 39-4.
39-4. I forgot how many games he actually.
24-0 to start.
Let's see. How many wins does Luke Walton get you? I would say probably zero. That's not. I don't. Honestly, I don't know if. That's not a knock on him. That's not me saying he won't be a good coach.
Okay.
It's just. With that team, who knows who they're going to bring in.
Right.
But if they bring in, say...
draft.
Right. So say for some reason they bring in no one on free agent except like Brandon Basses and all those type of role players.
Uh-huh.
And they get a, I don't know, number two pick and they get Ingram. Sure. That's not a 500 team. That's a 25-win team. So I don't know how many, but I don't know how many of those wins can be...
Accredited to Luke.
So this year, I think I actually don't mind the hire because if everyone's going to learn, they might as well learn together.
Yeah.
But I also don't think that I don't think he's worth like 7 wins just for being hired.
Yeah. One thing he said, the offense he's going to run, not the triangle.
Yeah. Well,
offense.
Actually, I amend my previous statement. I think this is a 500 win team now. Luke grants them just by that comment. He's going to. Bring 20 extra wins.
Yeah, you know, in a little bit we're going to go through the Rockets lineup and see who's going to be back on that team.
Yeah.
The Lakers too. Probably a lot of players going to be elsewhere next year.
Yeah.
Nick Young right at the top of that list. They will cut him if they can't trade him.
Yeah, well, he just needs to get away from his boy D'Angelo.
Matt, last week we talked about the NBA finally changing the hack-a-shack rules.
Right.
Ron Beard reported on Twitter that the Pistons and Stan Van Gundy are considering having Andre Drummond shoot underhanded next year.
Do it.
35% was the worst season of any free throw shooter in NBA history. Yeah, what do you have to lose at that point?
Seriously, you get underhanded, you could still make 3 out of 10 underhanded.
Yeah, 3.5. Yeah. Oh, speaking of Nick Young, Iggy Azalea intervened on a tattoo catastrophe on her fiance, Nick Young. He was getting tattooed across the top of his back, Born Rebel.
Uh-huh.
Rebel spelled R-E-B-L-E.
Reble.
Reble.
Yeah.
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 He went to USC.
Yeah.
You know. Not that that's a knock on the school. He probably didn't go to class.
Yeah. We're just stating facts here.
Maybe he just had spell check
well, that's
for all
good.
His papers. I know I did.
You know, that's good of Iggy. Because with that whole controversy of was Nick Young cheating on her, at least, you know, she was nice enough to... She could have let him go full misspelling.
Jason Terry says he 100% expects to play again next year. Going to be 39 next year.
After 100% being interested in the University of Alabama Birmingham coaching job.
And also 100% guaranteeing a victory in Game 5 versus Golden State, to which Draymond said he had mad respect for Jason Terry, but you can't guarantee victory and put up no 0-for-7 donut.
Ooh. Jay, that's the diss of the week. Jason Terry, he should stop predicting things because... He got it right once, and it was the ultimate prediction when he got the tattoo of the trophy the year before the Mavericks won it all.
Oh, yeah.
That you if you come out successful on a tattoo prediction of a championship, you just need to shut down predictions.
Well, he did get the Celtics logo holding that championship trophy a couple of years later to predict a Celtics championship at the beginning of the season or
Wait,
the beginning of the
that's
playoffs.
What happened?
Yeah, I mean, the trophy was correct with the Mavericks.
Right.
Then he went a step further, doubling down, saying, oh, you know, now that he's on the Celtics, they were going to win that year.
Yeah.
That last game, the Rockets played against the Warriors. They lost 114-81. This is the stats for people not named James Harden, and this will lead us into our next segment here. Uh-huh. 19-for-68 field goals, 28%. 3-for-26 three-pointers for 11%.
Yeah.
The people not named James Harden, 46 total points scored in that last game.
Man, oh man.
Which brings us to our segment of the week. I'm going to name some players on the Houston Rockets, Matt, and we're going to decide if they're going to be on the Houston Rockets next year or elsewhere. I don't think there's going to be many.
Okay.
Daryl Morey claims that it was not bad chemistry, that it's, you know, easy for media to accredit a team that's not winning to bad chemistry. You know, just give it a name, give it a narrative. He said, no, it's pretty much the same players we had from last year. They just didn't play as well.
Right. So are these are all the players that could be eligible to be traded, and they're not just free agents?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Top of the list, we'll start off with an easy one, Dwight Howard.
Gone.
He's got a player option for $23 million next year, and I agree. I mean, people, Harden and Morey specifically, have said pretty thinly veiled stuff about him. Morey said, well, we want to pair James Harden with a superstar, and Dwight's pretty good, so we'll consider that, you know. James Harden said something about equally lukewarm, where it's just like, yeah, we love Dwight. We hope to see him back, you know.
Maybe in a different jersey when he comes to Houston.
I don't want him dead or anything.
Yeah, I heard that people think that Dwight wants to go back to Orlando because that's where people actually liked him. Ever since he left Orlando, it's been nonstop. No one likes Dwight anymore.
He just wants to go to whatever sucker's going to pay him $30 million a year.
Man.
Which I don't think is going to be anyone.
It shouldn't. It shouldn't be anyone. Stats aside, the playoff series, that should have been, he should have commanded $30 million. Like, he should have shown that he was going to, what did he show?
Yeah, he did.
You know what
he
I mean?
Not show much.
It's if you know that, you know that no one likes you, no one wants to pay you this big money, you have to give them an excuse to do it. You have to give them a reason to want to do it.
Or at least pretend to be excited when your teammate wins the one game for you in the series.
Yeah, or take your hands out of your shirt. You don't have to be full excited. You just have to like take your hands out of your shirt.
I think the only other player that is a real gimme in this game, the next one, James Harden, he's not going anywhere unless the Warriors offer Steph Curry, which is obviously not going to happen.
Right.
Corey Brewer's got two more years, about $7.5 million a year left on his contract.
A year?
Yeah, $7.5 million.
Which is
less than El Farouk Aminu. I mean, in this new NBA, not very much.
That's true. I think Brewer's staying.
You think Brewer's staying? I think he might have some more trade value, a little bit more than the next guy who has about the same salary, Trevor Ariza. He went from really good last year to not so good. But maybe 2 years from now in his contract year, we can expect good things from him again.
His last contract year was that year he was on the Wizards, right?
Right.
He played real – it was great that year.
He was awesome.
Are you saying that they might only keep one around?
I think they're going to be stuck with Ariza until he can prove something next season that shows he still's got some 3-and-D value.
Yeah.
Because that's really what he is. And this past series, he was atrocious from three and played terrible D.
Yeah.
Another player I think is definitely going to stick around, Pat Beverly.
Uh-huh. What's his contract look like?
It's descending. It was $6.5 million this year, six next year, $5.5 million the year after.
Oh, perfect.
That.
Those.
And then a team option for 2018-19.
That's a perfect contract situation for the team because it descends and it's descending in a time when the cap is rising.
Right, right. And it's about the same money that Austin Rivers gets.
Sure.
KJ McDaniels, he's got a year and plus one team option left on his contract, but I think he's got some trade value. He'll probably get shipped for draft picks or something.
How much money? What's his contract?
He's still on his rookie deal, $3.3 million the next 2 years.
Oh no, he signed a 3-year $10 million deal before this year.
Oh,
remember, because
he
bet on himself in the second round.
He had the one-year second-round contract with Philly, that's right.
What were his stats like this year? He didn't play a ton, right? He wasn't one of their top.
He was the first player to bring back cornrows besides Kawhi.
Oh, well, then that's a $3 million bargain in itself. But if these guys, if they're going to sign him, if he's going to sign players like this, 3 years, $10 million for McDaniels, you got to at least throw him out there more consistently and play him. So if they don't want to do that, then I'm sure someone will take a look at him. Because when he played, granted it was in Philly, but when he was in Philly, he played pretty well. So
the next two players are going to be restricted free agents this summer. Terrence Jones and Denontis Monteyunas.
I would try and bring back Monteyunas for sure.
Yeah, I would probably put Jones in the category of most disappointing player in a contract year this year. You know, before the season started, Rockets fans were talking about how we weren't going to be able to keep both because Jones and Monteyunas would probably command between $15 and $20 million a year
each. Yeah.
Now, if Terrence Jones can get an $8 million contract per year, I'd be surprised, and it probably won't be with the Rockets.
Yeah, his numbers, he's had 8.7 points, 4.2 rebounds.
This year?
In 50 games.
Wow.
Yeah, that's not the way you want to do a contract year. I would maybe keep him, depending on who you get back and who what you do, I would maybe keep him if he wanted, if this contract was good enough, but I would prioritize Monteyunas.
Yeah. Next, Sam Dekker. He's on a rookie contract. Mm-hmm. Same with Harrell.
Montrezl Harrell.
They'll be playing for the Rockets D-League team, most likely. Maybe start getting some rotation next year. Two unrestricted free agents, Josh Smith, and 100% guaranteed to be playing in the NBA next year, Jason Terry.
Yeah. Well, Josh Smith is gone. If Dwight's not coming back, Josh isn't coming back.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what Josh Smith's next contract is. I can't think of anybody in recent history that fell from grace faster than Dwight Howard and Josh Smith.
And if Jason Terry is 100% going to be back, I guess that 100% puts him on the Rockets.
He should just get a tattoo of his next contract on his arm before he gets it.
Right, yeah. Sure, he can stay. Sure, whatever. They'll need to fill a roster.
5 years, $80 million. Jason, you should.
You shouldn't have. No, you really shouldn't.
We'll offer free tattoo removal with your $2 million deal.
What about Capella?
Clint Capella, I think, is one of four players that I guarantee are going to be on the Rockets next year.
The ones you guarantee are
the ones I guarantee: Harden, Capella, Beasley, and Ariza, just because. I don't think
Did Beasley sign a multi-year deal?
Beverly, of course.
Yeah. Did Beasley sign a multi-year deal?
Beasley, they have a team option for him next year.
Of what?
1.4.
Sure.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. Not to mention he is good friends with Kevin Durant from growing up in Prince George County, Maryland.
One point four for Beasley. I guess so. He didn't play too bad. The problem with Beasley is never the initial go around, it's always what happens a little later on. He always is kind of appealing right away.
He gets to a new city, plays well, and then eventually finds the weed dealer.
Yeah. One time when he was in Phoenix, he had like a show-stopping killer game against the Lakers. Like a 30 some point, like this is the Michael Beasley everybody ever wanted.
Right.
And I mean shortly after that, he reminded you that he was the Michael Beasley no one wanted, but everyone got. Yeah, so that's, I don't know, best of luck to the Rockets with that one.
We're not done with Kobe Bryant, Matt. He may be done with basketball, but he's not done with the spotlight. Ramona Shelburne has been writing some really interesting articles about him. The most recent one came out on The Undefeated. Which I thought was kind of strange, seeing as Kobe is part owner of the Players Tribune.
Yeah.
Competitive, you know, by the players type of
of
site. A quote on Shaq's podcast recently, Kobe said he didn't appreciate Shaq until he played with Dwight.
Oof.
A lot of these could be disses of the week, but wait, I actually have some set aside for that,
oh,
too.
Man. We haven't gotten to the good. These are all the runners.
So this is what Kobe is talking about. We've got a little glimpse into what his plans are for his post-playing career.
Vacation with Pau Gasol in Spain.
Vacationing is not really what Kobe's going to be up to. Here's some quotes from the Ramona Shelburne Mamba Out article. Quote, not that he isn't deep into what comes next. For the past few years, he's been saying he wants to be a storyteller after he finished with basketball, but keeping the details sparse and cryptic. He'd allude to conversations he's having with creative types such as J.K. Rowling or J.J. Abrams.
What?
But never say how deep they went. Quote from Kobe. There's an entire mythological universe I've created, he finally reveals. There are certain rules that make up this world. Within this world, I've built in a lot of room for really talented writers to come in. Continuing quote from Kobe, the bulk of it's coming from me, but the writers being phenomenal at what they do are able to really bring my imagination to life. Continuing on from Kobe, I think Walt did this with animation as well. Yeah, he's referring to
Walt Disney. Yeah.
He quickly realized that although he could draw pretty well, there are other animators out there that are just much, much better. He went out and found those animators and gave them the vision and allowed them to do what they do best. If you collaborate with great people and each one is enhancing the other, that's when we create things that are timeless.
That's actually the most humility Kobe has shown.
He's going to pass in his post-playing career.
No, that, for as ridiculous as all that sounds, it's actually kind of a humble. He's realizing his deficiency. I mean, granted, he has the best ideas in the world, and he's created the most. This universe is going to rival the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
He's humble when comparing himself to Walt Disney.
Yeah. There was an article in ESPN about Tiger Woods and what kind of went wrong with Tiger Woods during that whole
crash. That was good.
Yeah, it was crazy. There was this Kobe thing kind of reminds me of a part. Kevin, who was on the podcast, and I were talking about this. Tiger really got in with the Navy SEALs, was it?
Uh-huh.
And to the point where Tiger was walking around being like, yeah, if I wasn't playing golf, I totally would be one of you guys.
Exactly.
And all the Navy SEALs basically thought, no, you're doing all the fun stuff. You're not doing any of the rigorous, terrible things.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be one of us. So I think that Kobe he might have created a universe in his head, but there's a lot more. We all have universes in our heads. We're all psychotic, but yeah.
So it's not just all dancing with chimney sweeps, Kobe.
Yeah. Yeah. I like the idea of him going to J.K. Rowling and be like, I've created a universe about a young boy who has a talent that he doesn't realize he has.
Yeah. I mean, even his nickname, it was directly ripping off Quentin Tarantino from Kill Bill. You know?
Right.
Although I did come up with some characters that I think Kobe might have created. Some of the characters we might see in this mythological universe of Kobe's creation. I think there might be a big, stupid, lazy bear named Smack. Maybe Smackiel O'Beal.
Yeah. Stupid lazy bear.
We'll probably see some version of a whiny no talent clown named Kush Marker.
Yeah. Yeah. A short little clown.
And what mythological universe would be complete without an evil baby squirrel named Dwight Howard is a little bitch?
Yeah. Doesn't even try and hide that one. Yeah.
There's layers.
You have to watch it a few times before you really get it. I will say, I do have Kobe's back on the not liking Smush Parker and thinking Dwight Howard is kind of a little baby. I do have Kobe's, a lot of things I don't have Kobe's back on, but those two things, I'm in step with them.
I mean, I would watch a Jungle Book remake with Shaq as Baloo, which is basically what I'm imagining here.
Right. The Shaq necessities. I'm looking at the team roster, the salaries, and what the Lakers have going forward. They're not in bad shape. They don't have a ton of players coming back, but the ones they have under contract are all the young kids. And
right.
Young.
Yeah, the guys they've drafted the past 3 years, I think, are a decent core with Larry Nance Jr., Jordan Clarkson, D'Angelo Russell, and Julius Randle.
So they're losing $49 million off their books in salaries.
Yeah, they're
going
to have $60 million available for this summer.
That's $60 million.
DeMar DeRozan has pretty much already packed his bags.
Oh, well, he looks like it.
We have Game 7 tonight, so we will see how soon he gets out here. Oh, speaking of some players that aren't fond of passing and frustrated in their situation, Carmelo Anthony told SiriusXM NBA that he had not spoken to Phil Jackson since his exit meeting. He has no ideas about who the next coach is, mm-hmm. and he's disappointed that candidates like Tom Thibodeau and Scott Brooks were not interviewed, reiterated a need for a, quote, process.
Do you think Thibodeau could have got along with Phil Jackson?
Thibodeau wasn't already in Phil Jackson's phone, so he was not a candidate. And the rumor is that Jackson called the Bulls to get their thoughts on Thibodeau, which we can all predict how that went.
Yeah. Sucks. Hang up. Yeah. It was just one word.
I think, you know, some people have speculated that perhaps Phil Jackson's strategy here is to frustrate his star player to the point where he will waive his no trade clause in his contract, which seems like a valid theory.
Yeah.
And if it's like the opposite and he really wants to keep Melo, then he has a strange way of showing it.
Yeah.
I narrowed down a list trying to imagine the teams that Melo might waive his contract for. See if you can add to any of these. I think, well, one trade rumor that's been discussed, especially now that the Clippers have failed again for the fifth year in a row in the playoffs, is maybe Blake Griffin for Carmelo.
Uh-huh.
Although I don't see why the Clippers would do it.
Yeah, they shouldn't do that.
The Celtics have more trade assets than any team, plus they actually are a contender, more so with Melo, probably. The Cleveland Cavaliers,
right.
Not exactly living in Manhattan, but if Melo does care about ever winning, would probably not be a bad place to go.
Sure, but half the season you're on the road anyway, so you just live in Cleveland as long as you need to, and then live wherever you live in the off season anyway.
Yeah. The only other two teams I could really imagine him going, and I think it's more of a stretch, are the Heat or the Bulls. I think the Bulls probably had a better chance a couple years ago before got Hoiberg.
That was the big... Melo to the Bulls was always the big rumor a few years ago,
right?
By trade or not. Heat, you never know what old Riles will do down there.
Yeah, I mean, I guess some outliers, some dark horses could be someone like Charlotte, given him his connection to MJ. You know, he's Jordan Brand mm-hmm. player. But otherwise, it seems like a small list.
What if the Cavs lose in the finals again, or by some reason lose in the Eastern Conference Finals? Something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. Would you, and I know this sounds crazy, if you're the Cavs, would you trade Kyrie for Carmelo?
I think it would be love.
Yeah. I know that's the obvious one, but
yeah.
I think it's one thing to have Kyrie, LeBron, and love, but I think Kyrie, Carmelo, and LeBron is chaos. I think that's even more chaotic.
Too few balls.
Yeah. So that's what I mean. If Carmelo were to end up on the Cavs, I would think that Love and Kyrie would have to go.
Well, then you're imagining a potential championship contender whose starting point guard is Matthew Dellavedova.
Yeah.
I think statistically the lineups that feature Dellavedova are actually better than the ones featuring Kyrie this year.
But Dellavedova is gritty, but he's smart enough to realize that the ball shouldn't be in his hands in that setup.
You know, if we're building LeBron's fantasy team that he talked about earlier this year, was playing with all of his homies, Melo, Wade, and Chris Paul.
Yeah.
I could see a future where Kyrie is traded to the Clippers for Chris Paul.
Right.
And Melo for Kevin Love. Dwayne Wade, I guess, would probably just have to take some sort of minimum smaller deal if he really wanted to join that team.
Right.
Although, seems like he's got an opportunity to be a one franchise player, and those are always cool. You get a statue outside the building and so on.
Yeah, no one wants to see Dwayne Wade in a Cleveland Cavs uniform.
Yeah. Well, let's get on to our diss of the week here, Matt. We've got a lot of people talking a lot of shit. It is the playoffs.
Yo mama is so fat.
But I think it came down to one Russell Westbrook quote for the winner. Charlie Villanueva interrupted him and Cameron Payne's dance
yeah.
in, I think, game 2 of the series.
Right.
And the next game in Dallas, Villanueva was stalking Westbrook while Westbrook was like stretching under his own basket. There's funny photos of Nueva like coming up behind him like he's a raptor hunting his prey.
Like a lion in a gazelle situation.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. And Westbrook, after the series ended, was asked about Villanueva fucking with him. And Westbrook's quote was, "Well, now he gets to go home and do whatever he needs to do to be ready for next year, to sit down and watch 82 more games like he did this year." To which Durant added, "He may not even be in the league next season."
Oh,
that's a pretty good diss.
That is a good one.
The only other one I really considered was a Portland fan who was holding up a sign of DeAndre's face from the State Farm commercials, you know, wearing the blonde wig. And this is while DeAndre is shooting free throws. Portland fan under the basket has a sign with DeAndre in drag essentially saying, "Mama ain't got no rigs."
That's a really good one. Oh, man. Why? Yeah, DeAndre was just setting himself up for that one and that.
On the next episode of Brick House.
I think we might discover that the Warriors and Spurs are putting beatdowns on the Thunder and Blazers in attempts to intimidate each other. Not only that, they're going a step further with a text war that is breaking out between Greg Popovich and Steve Kerr.
Wow.
Popovich is sending box scores of the Thunder Spurs games to Kerr's cell phone, highlighting such stats as Durant's 16 points scored against his top in the league defense. Kerr responds by sending vines of Steph Curry making 10 shots in a row from half court in their practice facility. Pop responds by sending back a picture of Kawhi's hand holding a Steph Curry basketball card that looks like about the size of a matchbook in his, freakishly giant hands. To which Kerr sends back a picture to Popovich that Popovich thinks is maybe a poor quality Chewbacca mask. But this actually ends up ending the text war when he discovers it's actually a picture of Andrew Bogut's butt.
Oh, that would do it.
But until then, we will catch you up with Brick House on the next episode. Thank you.